This is Faith Over Breakfast, and I'm Eric and Andy, and this is the beginning. And we're supposed to, and we made a mistake last week.
Oh,
because it was not podcast number 32; it was actually podcast number 33.
Stop. So this is podcast number 34 of Faith Over Breakfast. And you know what? I like that we don't know what number it is.
Yeah, I do
too.
So
authentic.
It is very authentic. Wow. It shows that you and I.
We're the real deal.
We are the real deal.
Yeah, we're not trying to. We're not even purposely making this podcast.
We are not.
We're just having conversations and forgetting how many times we've done it, and that's great.
We did get an email.
Oh,
from Russ.
Uh huh.
He said he's catching up and may have a few comments later. But since we begged for responses from our listeners, he said he'd send one. So
he did.
So we got one from Russ.
Hey, thanks, Russ.
Thank you, Russ.
Yeah, and I've got. Feedback from some folks, which is always exciting, and just knowing that people are listening is cool.
Yeah.
So feel free to reach out in person.
And we are now on Google Play.
We're on Google Play. You can email us faithoverbreakfast@gmail.com.
Right.
Or at our personal email addresses, which most of you know.
Yes.
And or on our cell phones, which many of you know. Anyway, we talk a little bit about being misunderstood. Group texting comes up, and out of the blue, Hillsong and Mark Driscoll.
Which means we can put them in the tags, so maybe get bigger than.
Watch out!
Yeah,
watch out! Here we come.
We want this podcast to go way beyond the worship podcast.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, and we hope you enjoy the podcast. This is Faith Over Breakfast. We're at XO Coffee in Tucson, Arizona on a sunny 90-degree March day. Maybe not 90 degrees.
Is it 90 degrees already?
It's hot. Gosh. I'm wearing a fleece, and I feel like it was the dumbest decision. It's early morning, and I'm sweating.
Yeah, well, I think pastors are not smart in the morning. It's only smart in the afternoon. So
is that how it goes?
Yeah.
And that's why our churches meet in the evening.
That's right.
Because why would you preach when you're so not smart?
Right.
Okay. I've never heard that before, but it kind of sounds right to me.
It's my newest axiom.
Newest axiom.
Yeah.
Great term.
Right here on Faith Over Breakfast.
Man, so anyway, Eric Siepen, pastor of The Village in Tucson, Arizona. My church is Mission Church. We're two pastors. We get together. We eat. We drink coffee. We talk. We've been talking. We've been talking for about 15 minutes before we turned on the mic because, some stuff you just can't, share with the world. But we're inviting you into the conversation here, and we're just, we're just two pastors with a microphone on the table and some coffee or chai in your case, which looks a lot like eggnog.
It does look like eggnog. It's almost fluorescent in its...
It is.
It looks like... nuclear sludge or something.
If that were, I'm thinking that could have been the liquid that the Ninja Turtles drink.
Yes. I may grow a shell.
Yeah, a half shell.
A half shell, that's right.
Wow. Anyway. So, yeah, here we are. Got a lot on our minds. We were just talking about group texting.
Group texting got
on
there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how much you love it as
I hate it.
A way that it saves everything for everybody. I mean, it's great.
Here's what I want. I want a group text for like one thought, and then I want it to go away. I want everyone to be immediately opted out by the operating system where you don't have to follow it anymore.
I have better. Maybe we could do snap text.
Yeah.
Where
snap text.
You send the group text as soon as the phone identifies that you've looked at it and given a reasonable 5 to 10 seconds to see it, it just disappears.
Yeah,
and you don't even get to answer it. It's just an information text, and then that's it. It's gone from your phone forever.
I'm starting to get extremely annoyed. So is your phone always on vibrate, or do you have it, is it audible?
It's always on vibrate, and that's why I used to be wearing that watch so people could get a hold of me, because I would never feel it.
Oh, okay.
So then I'd be always texting saying, I'm so sorry, I missed your text.
So you used to wear a watch?
The watch, it was a kind of a Chinese knockoff, and eventually it
It wasn't working.
It doesn't charge as well, so like I have to take it off and charge it, take it off and charge it.
Mm. That's how.
Yeah, that's.
I think that's how iPhones are in general. Now, they just the batteries. That seems like you get a new operating system, and your battery lasts for half the day all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Anyway, you know, first world problems. I mean, I find myself, I'm super annoyed that 3/4 through the day I have 20% battery life on my little computer television world connectivity device that I hold in my pocket.
Yeah.
You know,
the
and
the
I'm
one
just
that
like,
you rarely how use can to I, call anybody.
Yeah, how can I deal with this? Yeah, so what I don't like about group text is I don't, yeah, mine's always on vibrate, and I just get tired of, if there's like 10 people in the conversation, and we're talking about whatever. I mean, I initiate group text. I get, you know, I'm part of the problem here. But I just hate when I don't care anymore about what's being talked about. And my phone's just buzzing. Bzz, 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 and I'm like, I want this to stop. But then I would love an opt-out where you leave the conversation and nobody knows. That'd be great.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes. But they tell everybody.
So I feel like that's a millennial pastor problem.
Is it? I'm sure it is.
You
Gen X pastors are just so much more mature.
No, but I did get... when I do text or talk to people who are under the age of, like, 25, then I get in those text things where I'm like, oh, my gosh, anybody who has a random thought, they just send it out to their group of friends that are on the group text thing, and it's just buzzing. But I don't even know what the conversation's about anymore, especially on Facebook Messenger. Like, I have both of those going, and so those, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like text better.
There are a lot of situations in which I really like text. It's a lot of times great. But sometimes I'm just done.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Yeah.
It's one of the hazards.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. So that came up. That came up earlier. Yeah, isn't that interesting? Like, wow, pastors talk about texting.
I mean, they talk about texting.
Interesting. So amazing. Incredible.
Disappointment and how we deal with it, which is...
Yeah.
And being misunderstood. That was kind of what we were talking about.
Yeah, that is. Is this a lead-in? Because sometimes, you know, your text message is misunderstood and you have to use more emojis.
Yeah, yeah. You have to use emojis. That's what I learned. I've learned from my congregation that in texting, I must use emojis or they think I'm mad at them.
Yeah.
Because I'm short and hurt in my... Somebody may send me like a 5-sentence question and I'll say yes.
Uh-huh.
No.
Yeah, I'm that way, too.
And they're like, you got to at least put a smiley face next to the no to know that you're not mad at me. It's just a no.
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to answer very long texts with very short responses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've grown in that. I've grown into the emoji.
You've grown into the emoji. That's a sign of maturity now.
Apparently.
I like to send random emojis that make no sense.
Well, and I think this is good because maybe every podcast you and I should talk about emojis, because the last podcast you had some conversation about my black thumbs up.
Uh-huh.
So, right? So
black thumbs down.
Oh, it was black thumbs down. Yeah, that's right. So,
yeah.
I just want to show you here live on the air where this comes from. Just text message today.
Oh, there it is.
Uh-huh. It's a very common one that comes down to my phone.
So you get them. So yeah. So
that's Anyway.
Yeah, I found that a little troublesome, but it's okay. We can let it slide since somebody else has inundated you with it. Yeah, we're talking about disappointment. I mean, be misunderstood. I think specifically. So, like,
and church life cycles. Just those all
church life cycles.
That happened in that too.
Yeah. So, I mean, we got stuff going on that, you know, obviously can't just like, you know, blab everybody's business around or even our own to some degree. But there's stuff happening in both of our lives, both of our churches, where we feel like afraid, or our community does, or people do, and we're included in that. Like, that people don't understand. They don't understand where we're coming from, and like wishing they did, and longing they did. And I guess just the thing for me would be like, are you, how much do you struggle with that? I mean, how much, like, when that comes up, are you getting, do you care less than you used to? I mean, or does it just depend on how personal it is?
No, I care a lot.
Yeah.
I care a lot, and the more I do it, and the longer I do it, you know, there are more complex relationships built in, right? And so,
yeah,
if there's 10 of you, and one person misunderstands, and they're connected to the 10 people, it's not as disruptive if, you know, or even just to your own, the complexities aren't as complex. That's, anyway, whatever. the point being, it just seems, it's always there. Being misunderstood when you're leading a community.
Yeah, leading anything, I suppose.
You're speaking over a community.
Spiritual leadership, there's a lot of weight to it.
Yeah.
And the expectation is very high.
Right. And I think one of the things is, even in an elder-driven church, which both of our churches are, the lead elder, the one who's paid or who's the teaching pastor or whatever, they bear a burden that they don't always, we don't always acknowledge as being different than everybody else's.
Right.
And I've heard lots and lots of, maybe you can speak to this better than I can, because I've never been an associate pastor, but associate pastors who step into being, you know, head pastors are always shocked. I hear it over and over again as to how big the burden got, even though they didn't necessarily change a lot of what they were doing. But all of a sudden you feel this responsibility that you're sharing with the elders, but there's a bit of your heart and soul and artistry in the church that's, I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, I've thought about this before. Like, I think Nick and I at our church are, I think both of us, you know, there's a very real sense that we started churches and we initiated the merge of this church.
Right.
But like our other elders, you know, would they be elders? Would they be doing ministry alone? Would they, you know, I don't know if, I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
And like Nick and I think we would have, and we did at one point. It was like very much like, I'm going to do this. Like God's.
Yeah, you want to gather people
and
move them towards Jesus. It's almost a little apostolic in its.
Right, right. And so there's going to be a, like, I've thought about this with a number of things, even like we're moving. Our church, we bought a building and we're moving, and I've thought about, why is it that, like, I feel, like, a ton of, like, weight of getting this done? And there are other people who are deeply involved who do feel a lot of weight, but I don't think they quite feel as much as I do. And, like, you know, I've thought about, why is that? And then it comes back to, like, this is like my whole life, like this church, this calling. And for others, like it's a part and a vital part.
Yes.
But it's just different. It's just, there's just another level, I think, that happens. And somebody mentioned the other day, like about Nick and I, you're the face of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something interesting to that, because it's like, I mean, that's true. That is true. Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's something about that. I'm like, that's not how it should be. It shouldn't be that, like, this is just going through my mind was like, we shouldn't be the face of this church. Like, what is that? Is that a modern thing? Like, or was that?
Well, I mean, I don't think charisma and the forming of churches was something new.
No.
I mean, even Paul going into
Corinth.
Yeah, is saying, well, some of you are this, but Peter, some of you are Paul, some of you, like, of Jesus, because you're, like, people attach themselves to people.
Yeah, right.
And leaders are followed, so who are you following? Well, I'm following Andy as he follows Jesus. Like, that is sort of the, you know, I kind of like to say, you know, I'm following Paul, Peter, the apostles as they follow Jesus.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, people follow. And so you are, like, I mean, it's not, the person following isn't the face, because they're like, oh, I'm going with that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and when that was said, it, like, I didn't, couldn't disagree with it, but at the same time, it was, I was kind of going, I feel like, well, I don't know, what does that mean? You know, so in this context, it was like, actually, it kind of tied in with the whole being, not being misunderstood. It was like, kind of, it was more like a be careful what you do, because you're a, you're the face of the church.
Right, right, right. Interesting. Yeah, so you're the face of the church. How do you feel, I mean, how do you feel when you think about that?
Well, I mean, I've, that's, it's one of the reasons I didn't want to be a pastor, you know? And so for me, like, early on, it was like, there was a big fear of, like, and I think, hey, this has come up here before, where I've said, because I was so hard on pastors for what they didn't do right, and the ways in which they failed. And somewhere in the journey, it dawned on me, oh, if I were to be one of the pastors and everybody were looking at all my decisions, that I'm not going to do so well with that. Like, it, and it dawned on me, it didn't dawn on me after I became a pastor, like, oh no, this is what they were going through. It dawned on me before and became a bit of a dread, where I was like, I don't want that. I don't want everybody picking apart what I do. I don't want people looking at me saying, like, you're the supposed to be the spiritual leader here. You know, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, you and, haven't come through the way I want you to come through.
Right.
Or you've sinned here, or you've not done what you're supposed to.
Right, and there's so many ways, because there's so many theories. That, like, somebody will come to me and say, you know, something to the effect of, like, what's your discipleship plan? And I'm just like, oh, gosh, because there's 50 different ways somebody could be hoping you're going to answer that question.
Right.
You know, and then it's like, okay, here comes letdown, you know, here you're going to find out that I don't have the plan you hope I have, or whatever. And so, like, I've had a bit of a dread, like, and honestly, like, a struggle with wanting to not step into what I really felt like God had called me to because of that fear. Yeah. So when I became a pastor, it was very much like a sober choice, of deciding to walk with Jesus into that fear, right? So anyway, for me, that's
I think, a real thing. And I think probably maybe we have it unique, and I feel like sometimes on this podcast we're always like, well, we're so unique, we're these unique churches, but in this sense that when you start something like we have, it is, for lack of a better word, sort of an artisan kind of thing, which means there's a train. And what
your
I have
point's
to say
about to be amazing.
Is not really that important. but you put your heart and soul into thinking through how certain things are done,
right,
and how it's going to look, and how you're going to reach out into the community. And it's really you and Nick, a lot of that there is like what's valuable to you, and you've hashed it out together. And yeah, there have been other people around it, but you guys have hashed it out. So when somebody says, I don't like this, or when you have to come down and say, oh, this is how we disciple, or at the village, like, this is the kind of music we're going to play, or how we're going to do this, or this is the way we are going to let our service play out, or however it is. It's not just because you randomly picked it, or that you thought that Andy Stanley's church was cool, so you were going to model it after his. And
who's that, Andy Stanley?
I don't know. Yeah. I just heard that there was a church in town, I don't know the name of the church, you probably do, who's imitated them down to the place where, if you look at their website, it looks exactly the same.
I do know
her. Okay, well, anyway, I know nothing about that church or its name, but somebody just told me, and I was like, wow, that's impressive.
Speaking of which, I'm going to throw a real curveball into the podcast right now.
Okay.
Did you know that Hillsong is coming to Tucson, having a meeting for their new church, interest meeting this week?
What?
Kid you not. Did you ever think you'd see the day in Tucson, Arizona, where Hillsong was coming?
All right. So, true confessions. I'll throw a curveball the other way. All right. So, it was my 22nd anniversary. And Sue and I went up to Phoenix at Chandler. So, like, I did a wedding out in Ahwatukee, basically.
Yeah.
And then we drove in the night up to Chandler, and we just spent a day there. So we're sitting at a coffee shop on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, and we found, like, this is the problem when you search for the best coffee shop. It's busy.
Oh, yeah.
We couldn't find a place. I mean, it was crazy. And everybody in there looked like they'd come out of Seattle or some, you know, hipster kind of, you know. I mean, it's hot outside. And they all had beanies and, you know, tight jeans.
What are you doing? My buddy the other day, a younger guy, walked into a coffee shop. And I'm talking about how we're sweating here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's wearing a
knitted cap.
Yes. A knitted cap. This is... So we're sitting there outside. Yeah. It's beautiful, actually. I mean, it's really beautiful, except in Phoenix, you're sitting on the patio, and then there's a gigantic road in front of you, so the cars are going, rawr, rawr.
Yeah.
So I look at my phone, and I look at Sue, and I'm like, this is a weird thing, but, you know, every vacation we've ever gone to in Seattle, what do? We go listen to Mark Driscoll.
Yeah.
And here we are in Phoenix. Would you have ever thought that I could say,
let's go listen to Mark Driscoll?
And she's like, yeah, let's go do it. So we went to Trinity Church, just to speak of, like, a big name going somewhere, restarting, Hillsong. I mean, it was interesting.
Very interesting. Tell me about it. I've been curious. I went and listened. I've never listened to a whole Mark Driscoll sermon in my life, by the way. I still haven't.
Oh, wow.
I listened to part of one from Trinity Church, and then I just kind of was like, eh, and I moved on.
So we went there, and he was preaching. The first time I ever heard him preach was out of Exodus, but the first series I ever heard him do was John.
Yeah.
And he's back in John. Okay. So they're doing a series in John. And
is the church like Mars Hill?
No.
Yeah. So it's not.
I walked in, and it's in a cool building.
Oh, I've seen the building.
Which, by the way, we know the people who sold it to them, right? Uh-huh. But anyway, I go in there, and it's two services. Services probably got 300 people, second service. It's probably 600 people in the whole church.
Yeah.
Mostly white, mostly young.
Sure. Sounds better.
Some old people in it. They have one song up front, and then Mark gets up and speaks. Now, he started, and he, for the first 30 minutes, I thought, oh my gosh, this is why I love Mark. He's funny, he's deep. And that was sermon one. And so it's the man by the pool of Bethesda, right? So he's got his really good insights I hadn't even thought about.
Yeah.
Then we got to the second sermon. For 20 minutes on fatherhood.
Oh.
And then we got to the third sermon, the gospel, for another 20 minutes.
And you're not talking about literal different sermons, but you're saying, like, he in one sermon had three sermons.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, the first one was amazing. The second sermon I've heard him preach hundreds of times. The third sermon, he went crazy.
Oh, wow.
He was yelling and very excited.
Wow.
And then they got out and the music people jumped up, and they were cranked so loud I couldn't hear myself. Like, I mean, not like loud and normal loud, like loud, loud.
Yeah.
And it was just Matt, what's his name?
I don't know.
They were just singing regular worship songs, so nothing that they had done or nothing original. It was interesting. I mean, Mark was Mark, but it didn't have, like, it definitely wasn't Marcel.
Yeah.
Like, you realize that there was a huge personality war going on between how you actually practice worship in a service and what the creativity mode is and Mark.
Yeah.
So,
interesting. I don't know.
But it was okay. I wouldn't go there to church on a regular basis.
It was interesting to experience once or whatever.
Yeah. It seems like his wife's more involved.
Now
than she was before. It's almost more like a pastor team-ish than it was before. Yeah. So I don't know. But they're in the kind of new plant stage. I mean, they're bigger than a lot of us, but they're still trying to figure out kids and figure out this and volunteers.
Interesting.
Anyway, so Hillsong is coming to Tucson to see if they can plant a church in Tucson?
Yeah. It sounds like they're planning on planting one. They're gathering people.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. That's interesting. You know, how do you... You seem a little... You're just like, what?
Yeah, well, I was a little irritated that Mark came to Phoenix.
Right.
I mean...
Yeah, so why that irritation?
Well, let's
just...
Let's put aside any of my wisdom.
Okay.
And we're just put that aside.
For both of us.
And we're just talking a little bit of the rawness.
Let's just be clear. Yeah, let's clarify that all... We're just going to set wisdom over here for a second.
I think... I'm like, stay in your own place.
Yeah.
Like, this is not, like, I know people in Phoenix. They're working their butts off. Why did you... You don't need to come.
There are great churches here.
And I know you drew a ton of people from their churches.
Took people from churches.
Because of you.
The one statement I've heard so far about the new Hillsong was, they don't want to take people from other churches. And my immediate thought was, yeah, right. Like, you're going to come here, and I guarantee, like, in a Hillsong model, you're not cool with having five folks. You got to have a big enough crowd that, like, worship is dynamic.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have dynamic worship, you're going to have people who believe. So you're going to have to gather a bunch of people who believe. And who are you going to get but disgruntled people who don't like their church?
Right.
And in Hillsong's case, don't like the music, which is a really dumb reason to leave a church or go to one.
I agree. Can we say that right now?
Yeah.
Leaving the church because of the music and going to the church because of the music.
It's a dumb, bad, wrong reason.
I actually think it's probably wrong to go to a church or leave a church because of the speaker himself, the pastor.
Like skill of.
Yes, or, skill of. I mean, I think that if you're like, whoa, like, every week we go there, there's heretical things about who Jesus is. Then, yeah.
Or but, this person doesn't care about anybody. Yeah, they're just, yeah.
Or it's very obvious that he never even read the passage that he's preaching on.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yes, there are reasons, but I think you have to be very careful to not say, I'm feeling like this guy, like, he feeds me, this person doesn't feed me.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of...
That statement, I feel fed over here. Like, you know, you sound like an animal. Like, I'm an animal... I need to be fed.
Well,
I
mean, God, Jesus says we're sheep.
Yeah. Okay. Good point. Good point. But but what I'm saying is, no, we are. But it sounds like
I'm just gonna be hard.
Like I don't. I'm. This church isn't something that I contribute to. I'm not a card carrying member of it. I don't. Like I come, I eat, I leave. Which is exactly what a lot of folks do, right? Is like I come, I consume. I go, what I consume, it's like a restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, if the food's not that great, I'll just go to another one. And like, I mean, please show me from the New Testament how that is anywhere near what's going on here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Of course, I mean, if you really honestly read through Paul's letters, you also understand that it's just so messy. It's an absolute mess. People are messy, and the gospel...
Absolutely.
Is
well, and then on the flip side of that being fed thing is like we don't want to be in a mess. Like we want to go somewhere where everything's just clean and good and working perfect versus somewhere where it's a mess. Like, which to me is like that's not a church.
Right.
Like a church is a gathering of people who this could be my definition. A gathering of people who are so sinful that they've given up all hope of fixing themselves. And the only hope that they've decided that they have is the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all gathering together to be reminded of that grace in a community. That's going to be a mess.
Yes. And that's why I love communion every week.
Oh, yeah.
Because one, it reminds me of the sacrifice of Christ. But the other thing it says is, I know I'm not in common with anything of you guys. Like,
yeah.
And yet I have common unity here. Like,
the commonality.
This is it.
Like, Jesus.
Right here. Yeah. The broken body and the blood. That's all I got.
Not like, politics. Not music style. Not the way I would love to be talked to.
Right.
Not not that you do all the things that I do. Or you look like me. Or you act like me. Yeah.
Or that we could possibly be friends.
Right.
Like, but we can be because of Jesus. Like,
right. Yeah.
That's what excites me about church. That's why I'm like, I want to go every Sunday. That's why even though I can't stand, you know, anymore, like, where Driscoll is, I go there because I do have common unity with him, and he's spoken to my life, and there's something that I enjoy about that I want to be reminded of. And I enjoyed worshiping with his church.
Well, yeah, and you know, John Piper was a big thing when I was, like, college age, like,
sure.
Like hearing some of his sermons really woke me up to some stuff. So last time he was in Phoenix, my wife and I were like, for whatever reason, we'd like to go hear him speak. He's a big part of our lives, you know.
Right.
So similar deal, right?
Yeah. Like,
yeah. So then, okay. So in light of all that, Hillsong coming to town.
Hillsong's coming to town. Oh man.
So like, yeah. So the Roth that you're like, stay where you, I mean, they're going all over the place. I mean, their pastor in Australia is now called their global pastor.
Yes.
Right? So they're trying, they're, and I know, I can guarantee you, these folks, they're like, this is good. Tucson needs this. Like, we're reaching the world. Right?
Yeah.
So why do you disagree with that?
Well, it's not so much I disagree.
Or struggle with that, or whatever.
So, I don't know. I know you. I don't know if you watch Netflix or not. There's you do because you watch Comedian Cars. So we've talked about that. But there's a another show. I've only watched one episode, and it was about pizza. And they're talking about artisan pizza and what makes the best pizza. And it's the chef. Anyway, this very famous chef. He's voted. There's this one artisan guy that he loves, and it's like, it's the best pizza in the world.
Yeah.
In his mind. But he also likes Domino's.
Uh-huh.
And so he's talking about the difference. And so they order Domino's, and so it's three of these guys, two artisan guys in this, and they're talking about it. And the thing is that Domino's produces a food that's okay, and it's tasty, and it fills you, but it's not a restaurant, and it's not a place. There, it's a machine. It's producing things.
Yeah.
Whereas the artisan guy was just talking about, he's like, well, I make pizza because I love pizza. I make pizza because I love the way it tastes.
Yeah.
And I pour my heart and soul into it.
Yeah.
And if you come to my place, you're only going to get it in my place. I'm not going to teach somebody else how to make it in the sense exactly. I want them to make pizza exactly
their
how
way.
They would make pizza, right? Not my way. And so part of what his like discipleship that. Would be is to train other people to offer their own artisan pizza, not reproduce his artisan pizza. And I feel like so many areas of the church have bought into the Domino's pizza model.
Like where we're going to bring passion to this city, or we're going to bring Hillsong to this. And you know it's never quite Hillsong Australia, by the way, which I've been to.
You went to Australia and went to Hillsong. Wow. And what did you think?
I thought, this is a very big concert that includes a sermon.
Right. Which is a lot of what,
And it was kind of, honestly, like, it was fine, but it was kind of underwhelming. And I felt dirty.
Yeah.
Because, then by dirty, I mean, like, because I was like, oh, like, which Hillsong musician's going to be playing right now? And even that thought process felt wrong. Mm. Like, is that, like, why am I at church thinking about that?
Who's going to play?
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, and what happens is you, all those people, don't get to offer any of the uniqueness of themselves who are jumping up and down and singing.
Right.
And you know that there's got to be, you know, if there's 10,000 people there, there's at least 500 superb musicians and songwriters who could easily write their expression of who God is, and instead, that's not part of their opportunity. That frustrates me.
Yeah. Yeah, I like, I mean, the other thing about, like, the pizza thing that you're saying is, you know, I really struggled with whether or not Tucson needed our church. Like, it was something that early on I was like, why don't I just go serve at another church? Plenty of churches, plenty of room in the churches. I know we're an unchurched town by and large, but you could go to a lot of churches where there are plenty of seats, okay? Like I'm saying, it's not like the churches are jammed. But like what I ended up landing on was like there are people that we knew that we thought they're not going to culturally click with these churches, and we have friendships and we think that we want to offer church to that little nook of the city.
Mm.
And I would say, I feel like you guys at the Village do that too. Mm. And so I guess like maybe I'm talking myself into Hillsong now. I don't know. Cause it's like, well, maybe there's a nook of people who just are going to look really hip, wear stocking caps and jump up and down and sing. And that's perfect. They get to go and do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like, I want more homegrown, like, churches that are coming from Tucsonans being themselves in Christ.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think the hard part, so I have two problems. I've been reading Irwin McManus's Artist and Soul,
uh-huh.
which I love, Erwin, because one moment you're like, you are so deep and so thoughtful, and the next moment you're like, you're crazy, and I don't even know why you're saying all these things. I don't know where you get any of this. So he kind of goes back and forth, so you can't, like, I don't read and be like, this is gospel, but I hunt Erwin McManus's books to find...
There's insights there.
There's depth that I'm not thinking about. Anyway, he's talking about this idea of artisan things and the simplicity of them and offering that. And then he puts this side note because he's a pastor of a megachurch.
Yeah.
Well, this is why lots of people say, like, megachurches, you know, don't have depth and intimacy and depth of character because they're just a kind of a corporate model of things and they kind of remove our soul and our artistry. And then he has to, in parentheses, say, oh, but by the way, like, probably most megachurches are actually seeking discipleship deeper than most small churches who are insular and closed. And then he moves on, and you're like, oh.
Well, Andy Stanley made some...
Yes, he made similar statements. I think they're struggling with the concept nowadays of authenticity and this drive... that we do like big things. We like Walmart. Right. Why do we like Walmart? Because it's easy.
I hate Walmart.
Right. We, as a collective, not...
I just thought I'd throw that in. I like Target, where I go to subject myself to pain.
Suffering.
Not in Target.
Well, it's blue. I don't like blue. But yeah, that's another thing.
Red. Target's just infuriating.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel hunted.
Yes. It's good. You got to get in and get out.
Yeah, because someone's coming after me with a bow and arrow.
Or you are the one with the bow in there. I don't know. Anyway,
maybe I am. Anyway.
Sorry. I don't know. All I have to say is it's sad. I don't know if there's anything to do about it. Will God use Hillsong in Tucson?
Yeah.
Probably.
Sure. No doubt.
It's sad to me.
I remember, so I went and visited a church plant in Seattle, and I asked the guy pretty naively, this was years ago, but I was like, what's it like to be in Mark Driscoll's city? And he's like, it's, what do you mean? I was like, well, you got this church that's like bringing in all these people. And he said, yeah, Mark Driscoll's church is full of people from other churches. So it's like everybody left their church and went to his. That's what it's like. And I kind of assume that's...
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I'm sure some people left churches to come to the village and left churches to come to our church too. So I don't know. I don't know what to do with it all.
Yeah. I mean, for a long time, if people come to our church from another church, unless, like, say, they've left the church for a year and then they're...
Yeah.
We have to just tell them, well, you got to go back and ask your pastor if you can leave.
Yeah.
We've
tried to do similar things, like, especially if... Sometimes I'm not sure if somebody's just kind of visiting or if they stick around for a little while and I know they're coming from another church, I want to understand.
Yeah, you
want
to understand. And that question is usually given depending on the struggle and what's happening within the context of their life. We don't just have a carte blanche. Oh, you need to go ask.
Yeah.
But like especially if you're a contributing member to that church and people think that you belong there and you're enjoying it, and but you feel like, oh, but this church offers me something different, then it's like...
Right.
Yeah, no, we don't want to take you out of there.
Nor do we want to invest in you because you're just going to do it again.
Yeah.
You're going to go leave us now. Chances are, if that's where you're at.
Yeah.
So then all these people will pour time and effort into you, and then you'll take off because the music's not cool enough.
Right.
That sucks.
We sound really negative today.
Yeah.
We should bring back Wisdom wherever he is.
Okay.
Or she.
Should we invite Wisdom back into the podcast?
I can't believe Hillsong's coming. I'm going to have, like, there'd be deep, long pauses here. Like, if there was no mic. I don't know what to do with this.
You're still wrapping your mind around this?
Yes.
I don't think I wasn't prepared for Tucson being on the radar of a church like that.
Yeah.
I think, I know we've been on some lists of, like, cool places to move because our downtown's improving and cost of living's cheap or whatever. It seems like it's a plant out of the Phoenix Hillsong specifically.
Okay.
So there's a Phoenix Hillsong. So it's not like, you know, Brian Houston in Australia was just like, people were going to Tucson, you know.
We're moving our Australian church to
Yeah.
Tucson.
It was interesting to get people's impressions in Australia of Hillsong too. Like, we as Americans, when I went to visit there, I wanted to go. But obviously there's a lot of people going there, but the general feeling, like, yeah, I think a lot of the Australians we bumped into were kind of like, eh, you know, even within the church, it kind of felt like, yeah, a lot of people flock there because it's cool, and then they leave, and then it's just like this rotating group of fanboys and girls. And I'm sure that's not true. There's probably some solid people who've always been there who are very
committed. Right. There are cores to everything.
Yeah.
Wow, church.
It's interesting, huh?
Well, it is, but I mean, I think the thing that makes our churches unique is they're artisan churches. Like, their expressions. And I think that's the hard part. We go all the way back. The hard part when we're misunderstood is it feels like our pizza is being misunderstood.
It's not just like, oh, they don't like our church. It's, hey, when you don't like our churches, you and I, yeah. It's like so much of our heart is tied up in every bit of this thing.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you don't like me. And I mean, and honestly, that's exactly what it is sometimes. Yeah. Like, it's not just feeling like that. Sometimes it's precisely that.
Yeah.
People are like, I don't like you.
Yeah, and that's hard. Hurts. Yeah, it's really hard because you don't want it to be that way.
Right.
You want people to like you.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's heartbreaking. That's all I got, man.
That's really all I have today, too.
Yeah, I got to get... Look at the time.
The time is running away with us. So... This is Faith Over Breakfast.